The Spirit of Aviation, heard 24 hours a day, all year long on EAA Radio.
I'm Farid Gio. The EAA AirVenture Cup was created to give owners and builders of experimental category aircraft a chance to participate in racing and maybe find an opportunity to innovate along the way. A few years ago, several regular Cup participants wanted more opportunities throughout the year to race and started holding additional contests across the country. I spoke with Mike Thompson, who is chairman of the Sport Air Racing League, which now operates a racing circuit for experimental and production category aircraft, with the mantra, racing for the rest of us.
Very much like the AirVenture Cup race that a lot of people are used to, except it's generally a multi-turn course that ranges between 100 and 300 miles, and we launch the aircraft in the same manner, the fastest first, so that the gap between aircraft increases as a race progresses, unless we have misjudged or been misinformed about the aircraft's top speed, and then occasionally there's passing on the course. But we do that to try to avoid aircraft passing one another and thereby enhance the safety.
Do a lot of the people in the Sport Air Racing League, did they also compete in the AirVenture Cup in the past?
Yes, they do, actually. For the last 3 years, the AirVenture Cup has been a part of the Sport Air Racing League circuit. We have races that are hosted across the country from Washington State to Delaware and from Dallas up to Wisconsin. We've had races in Colorado and Alabama, Tennessee, Texas. We just are continuing to expand the races that we have and where they go. A person who is interested in maximizing their point awards for the league standing over the year will try to make as many races as they can, as well as go as well as place as well as they can in the races they do attend.
How did you come about to start the Sport Air Racing League? Was it you and some friends felt that you needed something other than, say, opportunities like the AirVenture Cup?
We had a local race that we did in conjunction with a fly-in. F1 Rockets have a fly-in every year in November, and in 2006 we hosted a race for the Rockets in combination with that fly-in, and we decided to invite everybody and anybody who wanted to come, and it was a very spur-of-the-moment, off-the-cuff kind of thing, but it was planned very well, just like AirVenture Cup and like other races that have been run out of Georgetown here in Central Texas. And so we ran that, and we had such a good time that I decided to expand on it and see if there were other people who would like to host races around the country. And
if someone wants to host a race, how do they go about doing this? Because it's no small task to gather a bunch of people together and race and do it safely and everything else. So what is the guidance that you offer people who want to host a race in this league, in this circuit?
Well, you're absolutely right that it's no small task. Any EAA member that has done a fly-in or been to a fly-out or anything like that knows that it's all about the volunteers. We do everything with volunteers. The Sport Air Racing League is a LLC, a not-for-profit organization, and every bit of money that we take in the form of sanction fees from the races, we put back into the league in the form of end-of-year trophies and awards for point standings and technology. One of our end goals is to bring cross-country air racing, which is not really a spectator sport as something like the Reno Air Races is, but we want to bring that to the public with technology similar to what you see at the Red Bull racing, and that's more difficult because we are talking about distances 100 and 300 miles. If a person was interested in hosting a race, and we get more and more interested people all the time, they have only to either contact me or they can get a little bit of additional information on our website, which is www.sportairrace.org. And on that homepage, on the left menu, there's a race kit link. And that is oriented. It's still under construction, a few of the pages. But it is the whole orientation is for a person who's interested in hosting a race to find out what kind of things are expected of them.
You've mentioned that you adhere as close as you can to the EAA AirVenture Cup rules. But the Sport Air Racing League is not actually affiliated with the EAA, is that correct?
No, the Sport Air Racing League is a separate entity, and the EAA, the Air Venture Cup, is one of the races that in the past has chosen to be sanctioned by the Sport Air Racing League. In our original cut, we used the experimental classes from Air Venture Cup, since so many of the people that were our core group at the time were Air Venture Cup veterans, and so they volunteered the information and said, hey, this is a good system and it works pretty well. We, of course, have had to expand on that because we not only race experimental aircraft, but we race production aircraft also, and the EAA, the Air Venture Cup, does not allow production aircraft to run in the Air Venture Cup.
You talked earlier about the technology that a lot of these racers enjoy learning about, developing, and so on. What are some of the advances that you've seen out on the circuit in the last couple of years?
Oh, they've been many. One of my primary competitors, for instance, in the RV Blue class, I fly an RV6. He has gone through a number of iterations of adding baffles to the inside of his cowl to direct cooling airflow, and he's increased his speed there. He's experimented with inlet size reduction. I myself have experimented with a form of thrust augmentation in combination with a cowl flap and a fiberglass P-51-like cooling door that you see on the radiator exit of a P-51. Many of us have gone to clipping our wings and making shorter wingtips that reduce our drag down low. Of course, they penalize us up high, so you'll find a lot of people flying cross-country to a race using their normal wingtips on the aircraft that give them a lot more lift. And then when they get to the race, they change out their wingtips for the shorter flat plate wingtips, which give us much more speed down low. And we also have people that run race props and cruise props. They'll come to the race running one propeller, and they'll actually race with another propeller and change their props right there on the ramp. So we've got a lot of innovation that goes on in not only in the inside the cowl where you don't see it, but also externally in forms of cleaning up the airframe and just making improvements on the original design, whether it's an RV or a Class Air or a Lance Air. Just about any of these airframes have room for some cleanup in an aerodynamic sense.
The Sport Air Racing League is a circuit. What is the length of the season? And maybe you can explain to me the difference between Rocket 100 and Rocket 150.
The original Rocket race that I mentioned in 2006 was the Rocket 100, and that just denoted it was a 100 nautical mile long course. And over period of time when we run these courses, a suitable course is not as easy as one might think to lay out. You have to keep many things in mind, things like even natural habitats, overflight of cities, what are you going to use for a turn point that's highly visible and can be found by everyone. If you're given a geographical area, like I'm in Central Texas, there's only so many ways to lay out a course. So sometimes it's 120 miles, sometimes it's 100 miles, sometimes it's 150 miles. We do surveys on our website fairly frequently, and one of the surveys that we ran was, what distance do you prefer to race at, and would you be interested in a multi-lap race? And that's where we came up with 100 to 300 nautical miles. And no, people were not interested in a multi-lap race.
Are there certain amateur builds that dominate the classes, or does it come down to workmanship that really wins the day in these races?
I would have to say it depends on the class. In the sport class, right now we are seeing the SX300s are pretty well in the first couple of positions, top two or three positions, followed by the Lance Airs and then Glass Airs. In the RV world, the RV8s, in fact, one of our fastest RV aircraft, an RV8 flown by John Huft out in Colorado, is the fastest RV out there. By that I mean it's not like Dave Anders had an RV4 that he's won CAFE with, but John's RV8 is an everyday airplane that he can hop out of and take his extra gear out of to lighten it up a little bit and go race it. He's put a lot of attention into both the mechanical and the aerodynamics of the aircraft. So the 8s for the RVs are pretty dominant, but even the RVs break out into RV Red and RV Blues, depending on the engine size. So the RV Reds, we see a lot of RV4s that do very well.
Mike, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Mike Thompson is chairman of the Sport Aircraft Racing League. You're listening to EAA Radio.